Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Right, Hebrews chapter 7 and then chapter 3 verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Please underline works. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. And please underline ways. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Whilst it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, verse 16 now, for some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that are sent, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in to the promised land because of unbelief. Hallelujah. God wants us to be able to survive the wilderness and to make it to the promised land. Hallelujah. The Bible makes us to understand that Israel, when they were released from the Egyptian captivity, some of them could not survive the wilderness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that they were overthrown in the wilderness. It does not tell us that they went back to Egypt, because going back to Egypt meant that they had stopped being Christians and they had gone back into the world, into their old ways. But they were not people who went back to Egypt. They were still in the wilderness, but they were overthrown in the wilderness. I want you to understand that it is possible for you to be a believer, stay in the church of the Lord, not go back into the world, and yet be overthrown in the wilderness. But God wants us to be able to survive the wilderness. I want you to understand that you will surely survive the wilderness, because unlike the people of Israel, you are going to be a person of faith. Our text said that so we see that they could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief, but we are people of faith and we are on our way to the promised land in Jesus' name. What is the promised land? The promised land is the kingdom system that Jesus Christ put on his shoulder, the government upon his shoulder, and he brought into the world. The promised land is the kingdom system. Egypt is a type of the world system. So God redeems us from the world system, and we are transitioning through the wilderness onto the kingdom system. So the promised land is the kingdom system, and we are going to get there in the name of Jesus Christ. But we said that between the promise and the promised land, between Egypt and then the promised land known as Canaan, there is a wilderness. And everybody, irrespective of yourself, you have to go through the wilderness. Even the sinless Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So God has given you promises, but there is a challenge that we always have. The challenge that we always have is translating the promise of God into reality, actualizing or practicalizing what God has said in His Word, so that we become living epistles, living out fully the promises of God. It will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to look at some three characteristics of the wilderness, because as we get to understand these things, it helps us to be able to hold on in our faith, even as we go through the period of trial, the period of affliction, the period of dryness, the period of the wilderness. Okay? So, last week, we looked at some two characteristics. We said that the wilderness presents the opposite of what we have been promised. Okay? And then we also said that the wilderness is a place of great contradictions that affords us the chance to be intimate with our God. Now, the third characteristic of the wilderness that we need to learn from is that it is a place of radical change of diet. That is the first point on the whiteboard. It's a place of radical change of diet. And you need to understand that your diet must change for you to enter the promised land. Nobody enters the promised land feeding upon the same thing that he used or she used to feed upon. Now, Israel, when they were in Egypt, the Bible makes us to understand that they were eating to the full. They themselves said that they sat by flesh pots. In other words, they had meat in abundance. And elsewhere, they said that they were given free fish and cucumbers and onions and garlic. Said that they ate them freely. Numbers chapter 11. The Bible says, as they complain, that we do remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely. I want us to go there because I think that it will help us as we proceed if we should read that text. All right, so Numbers chapter 11 verse 5, they say, we remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was of coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of dillium. And the people went about. Please underline went about. It's going to help us in our later understanding. Okay, the people went about. In other words, the manna that God gave unto them, the food he gave them in the wilderness, it was not just available for them to just eat. They have to go about. They have to move from their tent. They have to walk. They have to go about. They went about gathering. In other words, the thing was scattered. It wasn't as if you go to one place and you can scoop or you can gather everything that you want. They have to go about and gather a little here, a little there, a little here, pick all around the place. And ground it. There was work involved in processing the manna into something edible that they had to eat. So they had to ground it. I think that it is similar to our fufu that we pound. You have to put it in a mortar and you have to beat it. You have to ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar. So it wasn't a cheap food. It was a difficult food. Before you can eat, you should sweat. Because you go about, you gather it and you come and put it in a mortar and you pound it like you are pounding fufu. And on top of that, even fufu, after pounding it, is okay for eating. But this one, you have to bake it. And bake it in pans. And make cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now, this scripture is going to help us to understand the change of diet that I'm talking about. because every one of us is going to experience a change of diet if he or she should enter into the kingdom system. God has got wonderful things for us, but we need to have a radical change of our diet. When Israel was in Egypt, the Bible makes us to understand, Numbers chapter 11 verse 5, that they ate the fish freely. And that is very typical of people who are working for you. In a typical place where you employ laborers, the laborers don't think about the food that they will eat for lunch, because the employer provides the food so that when it is lunchtime and maybe the bell goes that it is lunchtime, they all file in and then they all go and eat. After eating, they get back to the work. This is so that the work will be enhanced. I hope you understand that normally, if even you have a servant, somebody who is helping you in your house, you do not let the person have the burden of going to look for food to eat. Naturally, you the employer or you the parent, you have to give the servant some food to eat or the worker some food to eat, just so that they will be able to have more time to labor for you or to work for you. And that is what happened in Egypt to the people of Israel. There were people who always had food prepared for them. They would just go and eat, and then they would go back to the pyramids, and they would go back to build all those kind of things that, I mean, Egypt was using Israel's labor for. So they were eating freely. And they were used to the kind of food that they were eating in Egypt. They had spent their life eating that kind of food. Now, suddenly, God takes them from Egypt to the promised land. And for just 2 months, they have to change their diet. They have to stop eating the fish. They have to stop eating the garlic, the onions, whatever, set by flesh pots, and eat just the manna. And so they had a problem, and everybody will have a problem, because when you are used to a kind of Ghanaian dishes and all that, and you are taken to Japan, and suddenly you have to eat the fish fresh from the ocean with just some squeezed lime or lemon on it and all that, you don't feel like it. You say that, no, I was not raised up with this kind of diet. But that is the wilderness for you. It is a place that your diet must change radically. You must change what the superpower was feeding you upon. Because Egypt was a superpower, and they had adjusted the taste buds, or the taste ducts rather, of Israel to the kind of food that they were giving them freely. So Israel could not take it. Apart from the fact that their diet was radically being changed by God, they had to go about laboriously gathering the manna, beating it in a mortar, baking it into cakes, and eating it. And that was too much for them to take. But I want you to say to the person sitting by you, welcome to the wilderness. Hallelujah. We need to be able to survive the change of diet. Because Egypt was a superpower at that time, and the superpower always provided freely for the people of Israel whilst they were in Egypt. Now God rescues them, and he says that this time you are not going to feed upon the food of the superpower. And sometimes in our Christian lives, we need to learn to take on the diet of God, heavenly food. The Bible makes us to know that the manna was heavenly food that God rained down unto them. We have to learn to take the heavenly food and not confuse it with the superpower's food. Because you can be overthrown in the wilderness even without going back into the world or into Egypt as a believer. If you do not learn to change your diet, you cannot get to the kingdom system, the place of promise, the place of the order of God, the place of the rule of God. But God is taking us there, and we need to learn to change our diet. We need to eat the heavenly food. So here we see a sharp contrast and a sharp fight between the superpower's food and then the heavenly food. And all of us, we are going to experience this kind of situation where you have to discard what you are familiar with, what you are used to the kind of direction that God is giving to you. When I'm talking about food and feeding and changing of diet, I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about what you feed your mind with. I'm talking about what you feed your spirit with. You must be careful that it is not the diet of the superpower, because the superpower's diet has a way of supplanting the kind of heavenly food that God wants to give unto us, so that you begin to despise the kind of diet that you have to be exposed to as a believer. And I must say that many people find this kind of difficulty, like the people of Israel did. Difficulty changing the diet. Difficulty radically not eating the superpower's food. Most believers have a taste for the success lifestyle of the people who, as it were, brought the gospel unto us. People who, as it were, we were serving under, and we used to look to them for direction and for free things and for whatever thing that we need in this world. But we must learn to change our diet.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
We should not be going after the pattern of success, the philosophy of success, of the superpower of what we are used to, of the people who have gone ahead of us. We should understand that it may be free and it may be familiar, and we will be tempted with it. But God wants us to go for His pattern of success, His pattern of lifestyle. God wants us to go for His philosophy, heavenly philosophy, and not just blindly copy the diet and the feeding system, the mental feeding system of the superpower who had introduced us to it. It is important for us to understand this, because just copying what is free and what is familiar is a fast way of getting ahead. But it is possible that if it isn't what God is wanting you to feed upon, as we are learning, that it will not please God. You will get the results all the same, but it will not please God. Because we remember the situation with Moses, whom God spoke to for the first time, and then He said that he should hit the rock with a stick in his hand. He hit the rock and water came, and Israel enjoyed the water. But this same God later on told Moses that he should speak to the rock. But Moses was familiar with a method, and he wanted to copy the old method of bringing water out of the rock, the old technology. He says that I am used to it. It has happened before. And so he just goes ahead. Instead of speaking to the rock, he just takes his stick one more time, repeating what is free and familiar, and he hits the rock. When he did that, what happened? Water came out of the rock. But God spoke to him and said that because instead of speaking, you hit the rock this time, I am going to prevent you from entering into the kingdom system. Just because he used what was familiar, he just copied what he was used to. And God wants us to be careful that we do not just repeat and just copy. Because when you copy, it is fine, but you do not sanctify the Lord, especially when it is the Lord who is giving you a fresh direction and a fresh pattern and a fresh lifestyle. It will bring you results, all right, and fast results as that. But I believe that we need to understand that God wants us to go by the heavenly food and not by what we are used to. Not by what we are familiar with. He wants us to be able to buy into what he is feeding our minds with. And although it may be laborious, you may have to go about picking it. And you may have to put it in a mortar and pound it like fufu. And afterwards, you have to bake it before you can eat it. Unlike the free one of the superpower, yet God wants us to go by the laborious way. Sometimes I have a problem with people, and sometimes even ministers of the gospel, who blanketly speak about copying what has been done before. Because it is possible that God can lead somebody to copy what it has been done. In that case, it is not just a copy, but it is a direction of God. And the success is not in the copying. The success is heeding the word of the Lord, or the direction of the Lord that he gave unto you. I have a problem when we think and we say generally that copying is okay. Copying is not okay. Copying is okay only when God wants you to copy the same technology and the same way of getting the results. But many times God wants, because of his many-sided wisdom, he wants us to be able to sanctify him. Sanctify him. Just make him so special before the people that he will not only bring water by striking the rock, but he can also bring water by speaking to the rock. And that is a way of sanctifying the Lord. That is a way of just hallowing the Lord, that you follow the heavenly food. I believe that we can be so practical, ladies and gentlemen, so practical in our life in such a way that you do not have to even see God. There will be no need for you to even see God, because the practice is there. But to be practical, I believe, does not mean that you take the easy way out. I am saying this to make us to understand that for some of us, in order for us to enter into the kingdom system, or in fact, indeed for all of us, we need to be able to eat the diet that God is offering unto us. The heavenly food radically change your diet. Hallelujah. One of the things that we blindly copy is the kind of gospel that was handed down unto us. That gospel that is only about, I describe it as the gospel of salvation, that is concerned about our spirit salvation and our going to heaven. And that is the kind of gospel that was introduced unto us. And many times when we talk about going to the old ways or the old gospel, that is the kind of gospel that we were introduced to, we were fed with, and we never want to change our diet. Hallelujah. And we blanketly say that there is virtue in the old. But it's not a blanket statement, ladies and gentlemen. Because much as there is virtue in the old, there is also imperfection in the old. Because the old is the beginning. And many times God progressively develops upon the things that you heard yesterday, or you heard 10 years ago, you heard 20 years ago, and you heard when you got born again. God is going to develop upon it. Hallelujah. Because the kind of gospel that mostly black people are used to is a gospel that tells them that they should be born again and they should make it to heaven and think about eternity. And there is nothing about the kingdom system that is telling them that you can do well even on this earth. That is the kind of introduction of the gospel that we had. Where they tell us, and they used to even sing it, that when I get to heaven, I will put on my shoe. So on earth, you don't have to put on a shoe. If you are barefooted, it doesn't matter. I mean, they had to teach these songs, and they had to, as it were, teach our people this kind of thing. that heaven is the most important. When you need a shirt, you will, when you get to heaven, you will wear a shirt. And when you need a shoe, when you get to heaven, you will wear a shoe. But I want you to understand that God wants us to get to heaven, but he wants us to have an understanding that he is a now God. And if he has got something wonderful for you, you are going to have a taste of it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not just wear your shoe in heaven. You will not just have a horse to ride upon in heaven, but he wants you to have something to ride on this earth. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that the kind of doctrine and the kind of teaching that we had is not supposed to fight with God's kingdom system. It is a diet that the people of Israel were used to. But God says that I am radically changing your diet. And radically you must change the things that you feed upon if we must be able to enter into our promised land. And the promised land is not heaven. Heaven is part of it, and it's a very minute part of it. Our promised land, as I explained to us in the beginning, is the kingdom system. And wherever we may be, whether in heaven or on earth, we will walk in the kingdom system wherever we find ourselves. Hallelujah. So we must watch the kind of doctrine that we embrace, because most of us, once it is coming from the white man, it is valid. And anything that a white man said and taught is better than what God is feeding you with. So up till now, you are despising the heavenly diet that God is giving unto you, has been trying to give unto you, just because you are not used to it. That is not how you were brought up. But God says that I am taking you through the wilderness to a kingdom system, and you must have a radical change of diet. The free food that the superpower was feeding your mind with is over. Now you have to embrace a different kind of diet that is laborious, that will be a long route, but that is a heavenly direction. And when you have gotten to that place of promise with it, you would have sanctified the Lord and you would have pleased the Lord. The Bible says that I want you to know that for the people who came out of Egypt, most of them, in fact all of them, were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. But with many of them, the version says that with most of them, God was not pleased with them. Having resolved does not mean that God is pleased with you. So we must watch what we are despising. We must watch the kind of teaching we are despising, just because the white man is not saying it. And it is what is made by the white man. You know, it is this kind of spirit that makes us despise anything that is made in Africa. And anything that is made outside of Africa, provided a white man does it, it is better. It is a spirit, pervasive. I know you know it's true. Oh yeah. You know, some of you, your attitude even towards the word of God from a white man will be different from your attitude towards the word of God from a black man. Why? Because anything that is coming from the white man is valid. It is scripture. And it is what we must do. But it is a supplanting of the heavenly food, especially as it conflates with what God has said in his word. There is always a fight between what you are used to, what the people who were your masters fed you on, and what God is trying to feed you with. There is always a conflict. I'm sure that some of you think that even in heaven we are going to wear suits, because that is the way that the gospel was introduced to us. And when you see a preacher in suit, he has got something to say, because he is acting. He is like the people, the taste buds, ducks. Nothing rises up that he has got something to say. I must eat everything that he says, just because he resembles the people who brought the gospel unto us. Oh yeah. Subliminally, that thing is there, is lingering in the background. That in heaven you wear tie. And so when you see a preacher who is not in tie, the preacher is in trouble. Oh yeah, the preacher is wearing just jumper. He is in trouble. He hasn't got much to say because he doesn't look like the people who brought the thing originally to us. But I read the Bible and I know that in heaven we will not wear suits. I know that necktie is not a garment in heaven. I know that heavenly, even in heaven, the kind of dressing is more like the African dressing, the long flowing one. Yeah, like the head pastor is wearing. It's not suits. You see, but this kind of diet you have eaten can influence even the word of God you are hearing. Because it's not presented by somebody in suit whose accent and dialect is like the white man. Because anything the white man validates, if it's a fundraising thing, no matter how it conflicts with scripture, provided it's a white man who is doing it, it's okay. I must repeat it in my church. And prayer patterns and all that, if even it conflicts with scripture, we must practice it because it's done over there and we just have to copy it and make it work. It will work, but it may not please God. It's a very dangerous thing in the wilderness because the wilderness is not Egypt. It's not the world. It's not as if you are backslided. You are still in the wilderness, but you have been overthrown. Something inside of you has died. But God wants that taste bud, which is dead, to come alive. We must change our dieting radically.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.